chapter 28 tonight, Exodus chapter 28. I'm giving you part two to a message that I began on Wednesday night, I think is when I brought this out. The days start running together for me. I believe it was Wednesday that we brought this out on Exodus chapter 28. We've given you two of the main 3 points. We'll go back and tap it on the head to bring you up to date, and then we'll preach tonight on point number three. Let me give you a couple of things here. On this flyer for the garage sale, it says that the donations can be delivered to the gymnasium on Wednesday, March the 26th. That should be Wednesday, June the 3rd, okay? So keep that in mind. We'll try to make that correction on here for the next time it's passed out. But it's not March the 26th, because if it is, you've already missed the deadline, all these kind of things. So keep that in mind. That is June the 3rd. And then we have a great problem at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's a problem, but it's a good problem. It's a great problem. That is when you have so many new converts coming to be discipled, and we don't have enough disciplers. We don't have enough people to disciple the new converts. So I encourage you that if you have been discipling some folks, but you haven't in the recent past, you've already been trained in that, and you are ready and willing to do that again, if you'll see Brother Jamie Pendleton, On the other side of that, if you'd like to learn more about that, now what this is coming out of your Sunday school class. I'm talking to the adult classes here, coming out of your Sunday school class for a minimum of 9 weeks. That's a minimum. It could end up being 9 months. It just depends on how long it takes these new converts to get it, to grasp it. Our philosophy around here is we want them to get it. We want them to understand it. And one-on-one times, couples with couples, men with men, ladies with ladies, it's a great time for these new converts to get connected with somebody in the church. And God willing, in the very near future, the good Lord willing now, in the very near future, we're going to have a training session for those who've never done this, but you have an interest in it, just showing you how to teach the book to other people and getting people involved in this. So I encourage you, if you're looking for something to do, you have a burden to teach. This would be a one-on-one type scenario, but it'd be a great opportunity for you. If you're interested, you see Brother Jamie Pendleton or Miss Tammy Pendleton, and they'll get you plugged in, okay? Exodus chapter number 28, we're preaching on the opening 5 verses. I do encourage you, if you were not here on Wednesday night, to go back and get it, because tonight is part two to the message that I began Wednesday night. I will go back and tap some of this on the head, but as far as the meat is concerned, you can go back and listen to that on the internet, or you can go back and get it by CD. Exodus 28, verse 1. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe and a broidered coat and a mitre and a girdle. They shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. They shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. You'll notice in verse number 1, verse number 3, and verse number 4, there are 3 words repeated. It's the 3 words, the priest's office. The priest's office. And I give you part two to that title, the priest office. Our Father, I pray you help me to preach now with power, clarity, unction, and understanding. May every person here understand what is said, and may it truly be the word of God that is given. Help us not to give our own thoughts, our own philosophies, our own agenda, but help us to open the word of God and give it just like you said it. Thank you that we have your word with us. Help us to be faithful to you and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As you come to chapter 28 in our study through the book of Exodus, as we study through this Old Testament book together, we see the priest's office is on display in the opening 5 verses of this chapter. Now in these 5 verses, this phrase, the priest's office, is used 3 times, verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4. The priest's office was an exalted position. As a matter of fact, the duties of this office included burning incense on the golden altar, keeping a fire burning constantly on the altar of burnt offering, inspecting unclean persons, instructing people in the law of God, to offer spiritual sacrifices, to intercede for others, to live a holy life, on and on we could go. The priest's office was an exalted and honored position that is rich in lessons for us today. And as we bring out these simple thoughts, I remind you again to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Get into the habit of every time you come to church or every time you open the Bible for your devotional reading, every time a preacher gets up to preach, ask God to speak to you. You know, it's a privilege that God wants to speak to us. He desires to speak to us. And I maintain with you that these five verses that we're preaching on are jammed-packed with applicable truths that God is speaking to us today. Now, I've already given you two of these thoughts. Let me go back and just briefly summarize them. Then we'll pick up with point number three tonight. First of all, Wednesday night, we talked about the priest office calling, its calling. This was brought out in verse number one. And when you look at that verse, you can go back and get it. I strongly encourage you to do it. You'll notice that the calling into the priest office was by God, by grace, unto God. It was given by God, not man. It was given by grace. They didn't deserve it. And it was given unto God. They were to serve God first. Secondly, we notice the priest office clothing. This was brought out in verses 2 through 5. And in those truths concerning the clothing, the Bible calls them the garments, holy garments. We brought out some applicable truth. Again, go back and get it from Wednesday night. First of all, we brought out how God's call is a call to holiness. They were called holy garments. Secondly, God's call is a call to glory and beauty. God wanted his priest to be clothed in beautiful garments. He wanted them to be clothed in glorious garments. And we learned there that God deserves our best, that we ought to do our very best even in how we dress when we come into the presence of Almighty God. Then number three, we preached that God's call comes with God's enablement, that he enabled people. He filled them with the spirit of wisdom to be able to make these clothes. And we brought out there how God's call always comes with God's enablement. Whatever God calls you to do, he gives you the strength to get it done. I am living proof of that. I'm not saying that I'm getting it done in a great way, but I am saying this: God's helping me to pastor this church when I realize I cannot get my name out of my mouth unless God helps me do that. God's call comes with God's enablement. Now we pick up tonight with major point number three. We're looking at the priest's office, its calling, its clothing. Number three, here's where we pick it up. We see its culmination. Now that's a big word, I know. I don't really like using big unknown words. But this word identifies what I'm trying to get across here. The word culminate, where we get culmination, the culmination of the office of the priest, the word culminate means to reach the highest point. It means to reach the summit. It means to reach the highest development. It means to reach, to come to the end and arrive at the final stage. May I say this to you? That as you study the high priest Aaron, and as you study Aaron's sons being the priests that helped their father, we see that they point to a higher calling. They point to another culminating fact. In other words, this is a great type in the Old Testament. The high priest culminates with somebody. And the priests, just the sons, culminate with people that we're going to identify with here momentarily. And let me give you these two things tonight and ask the Lord to speak to you. First of all, Aaron as the high priest, this is letter A now, Aaron as the high priest culminates, reaches his highest point, the office of the high priest, that office, it reaches its highest point, it reaches the summit, it reaches the highest development. It ends and arrives at the final stage, and it all ends at the Lord Jesus Christ. What I mean by that is this. When you look at the high priest and what the high priest's duty was in the Old Testament, now we're going to be studying this as we go through the book of Exodus. When you study what the high priest did, it points ahead. It points ahead and it culminates with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that Aaron is a type of Jesus Christ. Our high priest today is not Aaron. Our high priest today is not in the Catholic Church. Our high priest is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. He is our high priest. Now I want you to flip with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Wait on me there. We're just showing you that the priest office culminates somewhere. It comes to a highest point somewhere. It reaches its highest development, and it cannot get any higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the language of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. You're going to Hebrews chapter 9, because we're going to read that entire chapter here momentarily. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1, and notice the language. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. There it is. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. In Hebrews 10, verses 11 to 13, now again, you're in Hebrews 9, just stay right there. You can flip with me if you want. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about the Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Hebrews 2, 16 and 17. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he became a man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful, notice it now, high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In Hebrews 7, verses 22 to 27 says this, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest, there it is, became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. In Hebrews chapter 9, if you'll follow along with me, I typically don't read a lot of scripture, but I'm reading it tonight because I'm just trying to show you that when you come to Exodus, as we're introduced to the high office priest, I'm talking about Aaron as the high priest and his sons as the other priests, we see that culminates. It points to a higher calling. It's a type of something. And we see that Aaron, as the high priest, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, read it now. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and the worldly sanctuary. Talking about the tabernacle, which is what we've been studying in Exodus. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with them, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But in the second went the high priest alone, talking about Aaron, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Can I paraphrase? He had to keep going year after year, year after year, year after year, once a year as the high priest, not without blood, in behind the inner veil where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the cherubim were, where the presence of God was above the mercy seat. He dared not approach that inner part, the presence of God, without blood to make atonement for himself and also for the people. But the Holy Spirit was saying, the way, the culmination, if you will, the final way has not been made yet. That's why in the Old Testament they had to keep coming year after year. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come and high priest, there it is, of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet, wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, talking about the tabernacle in Exodus, in the book of Exodus, where Aaron would go and take the blood as the high priest entereth. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let me say this, you cannot get to the bottom of that chapter. You cannot fully explain that chapter. But may I say to you what I'm trying to get across here, that the high priest that we're studying, that we're beginning to study in Exodus chapter 28, this high priest by the name of Aaron, who once a year would kill the animals, he would gather the blood, and he would go into the holy place, and he would go behind the inner veil and go into the holiest of all, where the presence of Almighty God was. And he would go in there with the blood of these slain animals. And he would take the blood and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And when he did that, he was doing that for his own sin as a high priest, because he was a sinner. And he did it for the sins of the people. And God saw the blood of those bulls and of those goats. And God forgave their sin for that year. But when the year was up, they had to come back again. And he had to do the same thing again. And he had to do the same thing again, year after year after year. But that office of the high priest culminates somewhere. It points to a higher calling.
It comes to a higher summit. It gets to the highest development that it possibly can. And where it points to is it points to the office of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that just like Aaron went into the presence of God once every year, not without blood, that Jesus Christ did not go once every year. He only had to go one time, period. And he not only he didn't take the shed blood of goats and of bulls, but he sacrificed himself as our high priest. And he goes into heaven, not into the Old Testament tabernacle, but Hebrews said he went into heaven itself. And he took his blood and he offered it to his Father. And now his Father says, "He that cometh to me in your name, I will in no wise cast out." And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So as you study the office of the high priest in the book of Exodus, and you see him in all those beautiful clothes, and you see him carrying blood of animals and blood of goats and blood of all these things that were killed in the place of the people and in the place of his own sin, Hebrews said he offered his own blood, not for his sin because he had none, but he offered it for my sin and he offered it for your sin. See, the high priest went into God's presence on behalf of sinful man and he offered blood, and because of that, God allowed sinful man to stay in his presence. And today, that culminates with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been saved, if you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, it's because the great high priest, his name is Jesus, he died, he shed his blood, he went into heaven itself, and he offered his own blood as the sacrifice for sin. And because of his blood, God allows sinful man to come close to him and stay close to him. And he says, "Where I am, there I want you to be." But the only way it's possible is because the high priest took his blood and offered it to his heavenly Father. The office of the high priest culminates with the office of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you tonight that the next time that you are tempted to quit, and the next time that you're tempted to throw in the towel, and the next time that life is throwing so many curveballs at you that you don't know which way's coming, which way's left, which way's right, which way's up and which way's down, the next time that you feel like you just can't take anymore, the next time that you feel like just waving the white flag and saying, I'm through with this, I just can't take any more of this, the next time that happens, I want the Holy Spirit of God, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit of God to remind our hearts, there are times when this life gets hard, and there are times when this life gets troublesome, and there are times when the devil pops up on your shoulder and he says, "Just quit, just throw it in." I'm telling you that when that happens in your life, why don't you get a fresh glimpse of your high priest? Why don't you get a fresh glimpse of what Jesus Christ did for you? And because he died, he shed his blood, and he went into heaven, he ever lives to make intercession for God's children. This high priest stood in the presence of God on behalf of sinful man. And I'm glad that I don't have to stand before God for myself. I'm glad I have a high priest, friends, who is standing in the presence of God for me. And because of that, when I get to heaven, it'll be nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. What a stench in God's nostrils for sinful man to try to earn heaven any other way than by the shed blood of the great high priest. The great high priest and his shed blood is the only way to heaven. We know that, don't we? We rejoice in that. But there's a lost and dying world who's trying to get to God some other way. And when they do that, they will never make it. But we who are saved can rejoice in the fact that our heavenly high priest ever lives to make intercession for us. Reminded of the story of Mr. Keith Kaiser. Oh, I miss that man. What a man of God. I'm telling you, he was such a powerful preacher, powerful teacher of the Word of God. Loved the Word of God. I remember sitting and watching him in Bible college. I'd try to get close to him, you see. He's just one of those men that I just wanted to be around. And as he would sit and listen to the Word of God being preached, he's crying like a baby, just weeping like a little baby. You know, I forget a lot of things. I don't have the greatest mind. That's the truth. Don't say amen there, but that's the truth. But that's engraved in my mind. I still see that man weeping as the Word of God was being preached, weeping as the Word of God was being taught. He said it from this pulpit right here, and he talked to me on an occasion. He used to give an illustration about the heavenly courtroom. And he said, you know, there's something interesting about God's children. When they walk into that heavenly courtroom, the accuser of the brethren, that's one of the names of the devil, by the way. It's all he does is accuses the brethren. That's what he does. He accuses you. Look at them, sinners, sinners, worthy of hell. That's all he does is accuse you. But the interesting thing for a child of God is that we have an intercessor. We have a mediator. We have a lawyer. We have a high priest. Now, I remember that dear man of God saying, when we walk into the heavenly courtroom with Jesus Christ right by our side, he said, Jesus Christ, now he's not saying it happens this way, but I just love how he painted pictures. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, you don't have a thing to worry about. See the judge up there? That's my daddy. And oh, by the way, we're not going to sit down here. He lets us sit up there. And oh, by the way, you don't have to sit down here either. You can come sit with me. And no matter what the devil accuses you of. Hey, let me say this to you. Some of you were saved later in life. Some of you all had a life of sin and debauchery. You had a life that you wished to God you could go back and change. And you came to God. God saved your heart. He saved your soul. He saved you and cleansed you with his shed blood. But the devil still tries to accuse you. Look what he did. Look what he did. Jesus says, I know, but I've covered that in my sin. I died for that, Daddy. I died for that, my Father. And I plead my blood on behalf of what the devil's accusing him of. May I say this to you? If you are saved today, you are secure because your high priest is alive and well. And he's offered his blood once for all. And it is finished. There is nothing else to add. The office of the high priest culminates at the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, letter B, the office of the priest, talking about Aaron's sons. Aaron, the high priest, is a picture of the Lord going into the presence of God with blood to mediate in the presence of God for sinful man. But the priest, Aaron's sons, culminate in the New Testament with God's children. May I say this to you, that the Word of God plainly teaches, listen to these verses in 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Ye also, talking about God's children, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May I say this to you, that what Peter is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that if you are part of the family of God, God has made you a holy priesthood. If you are part of the family of God, you are part of a royal priesthood. What's he trying to tell us? What does that mean? May I say to you, what a privilege, what an honor. This means that we do not have to rely on any other human being to approach God. It means we can come ourselves on the basis of the shed blood of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13 puts it this way, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know what that means? If I can illustrate it this way, let's just say that this fern over here, it's a fake fern. Let's just say that that fake fern right there is God in the presence of God. That verse says that ye who were sometimes far off, you were far off from him, You could not approach him. You could not get close to him, because if you did, it's certain death. It's certain destruction. You're a sinner. He cannot live. He will not dwell in the presence of sin. And if you try to approach him with your sin, it is certain death and punishment. But the Bible says we who were off, made far off, have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. That means because the great high priest shed his blood and offered it, and his Father accepted it, if we come to God, approaching God on the basis of the shed blood of Christ, God allows us to get closer and closer to him. I'm telling you, that is a privilege, and that is an honor. That is a blessing, that we don't have to wait on another human being to approach God. We can go to God anytime, any place, anywhere, because when he saved you, he made you a priest. He made you part of the royal priesthood. And may I say to you that these priests in the Old Testament, their responsibilities, oh, how we can apply these truths to our own lives. When you think about these priests, Aaron's sons, and what God told them to do when he made them a priest, I've called you to this office. Here's what I want you to do. Here's your responsibilities. Here's your duties. Bang, bang, bang. Let me just give you three of them, okay? And if you're a priest today, if you're a believer priest today, you and I ought to be doing these same three things. See, the office of the priest, the sons of Aaron, culminates in the office of the royal priesthood, the Lord Jesus Christ's children, those in his family, those who trusted him. He's made us believer priests. And may I remind you of three things that it was the priest's responsibility to do. First of all, under this, they were to offer spiritual sacrifices. They were to offer unto God things that pleased him. Let me just give you a couple of these. By the way, this is another one of those messages. It's not exhaustive. Take it, run with it, add things to it. Just make sure it's biblical, you know. Let me give you just a couple of spiritual things that the Word of God tells God's children to offer to God as a sacrifice. What does God want his children as believer priests to offer him that he says, that's a spiritual sacrifice? That's what I want you to sacrifice to me. Little letter A under this. The first thing would be our own body. We see this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know one thing that we today, that I'm talking about where the office of the priest culminates in the children of God. I am a priest. I'm a believer priest. And just like the Old Testament priests were to offer spiritual sacrifices, God says, let me tell you what some of your spiritual sacrifices are that I want you to offer to me as a priest. And one thing he says I want from you is I want your body. I want your body. Let me ask you a question. Have we truly given God our bodies? Has he been given everything you see? Do I look at what he would have me look at? Do I listen to what he would have me listen to? Do I do what he would have me do? Do I go where he would have me go? Do I love like he would have me love? Do I think like he would have me think? Do I speak the way that he would have me speak? Have I truly given him my body? You know, as a believer priest, one thing he desires from us to sacrifice, because that was the duty of the priest. They were to sacrifice spiritual sacrifices. And one of those sacrifices in the New Testament is our body. Secondly, he wants the praise of our lips. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know what God says here? He says, another sacrifice that I want from my priest, another sacrifice that I want you to give to me because you're in my family, another sacrifice is I want you to praise me with your mouth. I want you to praise me and thank me with your lips. Let me ask you a question. How much this week did you offer the spiritual sacrifice of thanksgiving to God with your lips? Do you realize when you thank God, when you glorify God, when you're praising Him with your mouth, God says, that's a sacrifice that I am well pleased with. You know, we as human beings talk about so many things, don't we? We get wrapped up in so many things. But we as priests should be so saturated with giving praise to God with our lips. The priests were to offer sacrifices, and we're to offer sacrifices, our body, the praise of our lips. Secondly, the priests were to intercede for others. I remind you that the office of the priest was an intercessory office, a mediator office, a mediatorship, mediatorial. That means he was to go in the presence of God for sinful people. And may I say this to you, in the same way, we can go to God on behalf of others. This is a blessing and a privilege. As a matter of fact, let this church be a church that constantly intercedes one for another. May I say this to you, that a church that pleases God is a church that prays one for another. It's a church that does many things, I know, but one thing that will be happening at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is that God's priests, those that He saved, those that's been blood washed, when God's priests intercede on behalf of other people. You know what blesses my heart, comforts my heart, challenges my heart, and I want to announce this and beg more to do this, and if you're already doing it, keep doing it. It blesses my heart when some of you precious people come to me and say, I want you to know I pray for you every day. That makes my day. Please don't stop. Please increase that. May I say this to you, the only reason you can pray for me is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's made you a priest. And the priest's duty is to offer sacrifices. The priest's duty is to intercede. The priest's duty was to live a holy life. That's number three. Our lives should be lived as though we were priests in the tabernacle. Let that statement sink in. Hey, these priests dare not enter the tabernacle outside of the holy garments. May we see ourselves as priests inside the tabernacle. Hey, it is serious business back in the Old Testament. As we preach through this and study through this, you'll see it more and more. It is serious business when God called them to the office of high priest and priest. And they better do it His way. This life is not about me. This life is not about my comfort. This life is about the glory of God. And I'm to take it serious as a priest and be as holy as I possibly can. Certainly, we don't want to disqualify ourselves. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about just have the power of God by living a worldly carnal life. Psalm 24, 3 and 4 says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. 1 Peter 2, 5, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. Now, let me conclude this message by saying this. In these opening five verses, we brought out three major thoughts. Three. Thought number one, when you look at the office of the priest's office, thought number one, God calls people by His grace unto Himself. That's number one. Number two, God's call is to holiness, beauty, and with His enablement. That's number two. Number three, the priest's office culminates with Jesus Christ as our high priest who offered His blood once for all in the presence of God in heaven. And God's children as believer priest can come to God on behalf of others and even for themselves and pray and talk to the Lord. Let God's children live up to their position in Jesus Christ. As we consider these opening five verses, the priest's office, may the Lord challenge us to be the best priest that we possibly can be. To be holy, separate from sinners, offering sacrifice, interceding for others, praising our heavenly high priest that he offered himself once and for all, and his blood is sufficient for mankind. May we be grateful, joyful, and on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you to bow your head with me, please, and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray that you'll help me to lead the invitation a way that you see fit. Would you help us to be faithful to you and your word? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I want to ask you this question. Have you truly been made a priest in the eyes of God? What I'm asking is, has there been a time when you were convicted of your sin and you knew that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for you? Has there been a time where you've placed your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone? Are you a believer priest? If not, would you come? Let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel. Be happy to help you any way we can. You know, I sense the Lord leading in this way. Where would we be without the heavenly high priest? Where would we be if the Lord Jesus Christ refused to go to Calvary? Where would we be if the Lord did not take his blood and offer it to his heavenly Father? The fact of the matter is, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Lord knew that he was the only way to heaven. So that's why he came. That's why he died. So that he may be a faithful high priest, the Bible says. Hey, let me ask it this way. Are you thankful for the high priest tonight? Amen or not, friends? Are you thankful for what the high priest has done? Are you thankful? Do you see him seated there at the right hand of his Father in heaven? The majesty on high. He has offered his blood for the sacrifice of sin. And his Father has been completely satisfied with his sacrifice. And because of that, we can go to heaven. Oh, let us spend our days giving him praise, giving him honor, giving him glory. Here's how I'd like to extend this invitation. I'd like to ask those that would just simply like to come tonight, if you can get on your knees, get on your knees. If you can't, just sit down on one of the front pews or stay right there at your seat or whatever the case may be. I feel the Lord leading for us just to get on our faces tonight just for a few minutes just to say thank you to Jesus Christ. To come and say thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If you'd like to come just to get on your knees, just to say thank you. As he sings, would you stand? Would you come? Come now. Would you do that? Let's get on our faces and thank the Lord for his goodness to us. As he sings, you come. Would you do that? We're thanking our heavenly high priest. We're not going to stand tonight. We're going to remain seated. But if you feel led to come and get on your face or just sit down on the front pew, if you want to turn around right there at your seat,
I saw the cleansing fountain.
Thank God for his sacrifice. Thank the Lord
for
the office of the high priest. Just thanking the Lord. Praising the Lord.
And he giving him said, glory. Wilt thou be clean?
Let's sing it together, shall we?
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
They're playing through. We'll sing that last verse momentarily. If you're seated, I'd like you to look this way. If you're praying, I'd like you to continue praying. Sometimes it's good not to ask God for anything. Sometimes it's good just to get on our faces and say, Lord, I'm not asking you for a thing. I'm just coming to say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. How could we ever say thank you enough to Jesus Christ? How could we ever say thank you enough? There's nothing we can do that's enough. But you know what he says? If you just lift your voice and praise me, I'll take it. If you'll give me your body and let me live through you, I'll take it. I know you can never repay me. But I'll take you. It's time that God's children get serious about serving God. Time is running out. Someday we're going to open our eyes in glory land. There will stand King Jesus. Oh, never repay him. Let us do everything we can while we can to serve him, to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's sing this last verse together. If nobody else comes, this will be the closing prayer. Let's sing it together, shall we?
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one.
Think about his sacrifice.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain.
Thank you for being here tonight. Let me remind you, just keep playing through if you wouldn't mind. If some of you men could help Brother Ben take down some of the tables, that would be good. Brother Bob would like to meet briefly with all the parents of those teens going to camp at the Wilds this summer. Meeting will be over here by the organ, okay? Thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Daniels, sir, if you wouldn't mind to stand and just dismiss us in prayer tonight, please.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, the truth of it. We thank you, dear my Father, for the fact that you allowed Jesus to be our high priest to pay for our sacrifice.
Yes.
Sacrifice that never has to be made again. Dear my Father, I just pray that you would help us to walk worthy of that. Help us to always be worthy of that call. Help us to just be what we were supposed to be. And to get, lift our voice in praise to you for all that you've done for us. Be with us now as we go this week. Keep us safe and bring it back to the next appointed time. For we ask it all in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.
God bless you, folks. Love you. Have a great week, okay? If you need to see me, I'll be up here for a few minutes.